two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Jeremiah Jensen, filling in for Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell today. Thanks so much for joining us. Find us on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. Find JJ at JJ Sports Beat. Jeremiah, thanks for jumping on.
It's good to be sitting here together in the same room talking sports. It's been a while.
It's my first time I've been in the building since March 10th.
So it's crazy. Welcome back, Ben.
It feels good to be back on the radio. We've actually done some radio
today. We have.
So good to be back. This isn't our first rodeo. Should be fun. But hey, let's get started with The Cut, powered by KSL Sports.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Jeremiah, big news today coming out of the NBA. It's really been coming out kind of over the past month. It feels like it's trending in this direction. Last week, we started to get some news to break that, hey, the NBA is really in discussions with Disney World to kind of get this season back and going. And then really over the last two or three days, it's almost surreal to say we've reached a point that I think we're all waiting for, which is we're going to come back. We're going to see the NBA come back. We're going to see a champion crowned this year, I think, before the end of the summer.
It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of when. We know when those things are happening. The NBA is going to be back the last week of July. What we don't know, and what I think everyone is discussing and debating right now, is what should it look like when it comes back?
Yeah.
That's the interesting conversation now, which is awesome that we've moved from whether it's going to happen to how is it going to look when it does.
And hey, how lucky are we to have a team in the Jazz that is already really, I mean, not officially qualified for the playoffs, but they're the, what, number five seed right now in the West, number four seed, actually.
They're the four seed when it ended.
So when you're sitting there, regardless of how many games come back to finish the regular season or however they do that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, the Jazz are in a great spot. They're not a team that, because one of the discussions you're talking about, Jeremiah, is the NBA is debating whether they want to bring back 16 playoff teams or all 30 teams. Now, there's advantages to doing both, obviously. If you bring back 16 teams, you limit the number of teams, you limit the number of players, you limit the amount of exposure potentially to COVID-19. If you bring back all 30 teams, you can hit the 70-game regular season, and you can tell us why that's so expensive.
Are we so concerned about being safe, or are we concerned about making billions of dollars? So, yeah, the local cable contracts, you have to hit 70 games in order to get the amount of money to fulfill the contract. So there's a lot of incentive for the NBA for all their teams to hit that 70-game benchmark, and that's why I think the NBA is going to push this 30-game model. In fact, Mark Cuban comes out today, and he says, we have to do the 30-game model. And I don't, the NBA is, you know, very conscious of PR. They're not going to come out and say that they're not going to make a statement as to why they need to make all 30 teams come, but we all know why.
Yeah.
They're going to hit that benchmark. They're going to do what it takes to get that money. And I think the players, while they're probably supportive of that, are more concerned about the competitive aspect of it. But all, I mean, everybody's losing money here with this involved, players and owners, everybody in between. So there's a lot of incentive for everyone to get down to Orlando and make this happen in whatever format it might be. Now, that's where we can start that conversation is, what should it look like? How many teams should go? And when they get there, how should they handle this? That's really fascinating to me. And I think it's going to be, as we go through some of these details, I'm sure you have your thoughts on this, but I am so fascinated with how this is going to go. And I'm so excited about how it's going to go. It's going to be completely different than we've ever experienced NBA basketball before.
Let's lay out quickly why we're talking end of July. If we're already talking about the league coming back now, it's not like we're going to get a vaccine before then, but we can talk about the timeline of why the end of July is looking realistic. First of all, the NBA needs to get the players on board. And that's what Michelle Roberts, who's the executive director of the NBA Players Association, the union for the NBA, is talking to players this week, team by team, just making sure that everyone's on board with coming back and who can't come back. Are there players that have pre-existing conditions or immunocompromised that can't come back? And there might be a couple of players like that in the league that we don't know on a day-to-day basis. They don't tell us that information, nor is it our business. So you find out who can come back. And if it's the majority of the players and the overwhelming majority or all the teams, then you say, okay, let's set the deadline or the guidelines for when those players need to be back in their host cities. Because Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Mike Conley, they're not in Salt Lake City right now.
Yeah.
They're kind of spread out across the country. They've got to come back. Well, if you're traveling, the NBA doesn't want you to come in and be the super spreader who goes into the Jazz Zions Bank basketball facility and gets everybody sick. So what do you have to do?
You got to quarantine.
You got to quarantine. Okay, so now we're talking, let's say you fly back sometime between June 1st and June 5th. Now we're talking June 20th. Everybody's back in the practice facility. Everyone's been quarantined. Everyone's been tested. Everyone's fine. Then you need what the NBA has talked about 11 days that they want just for conditioning, just to make sure these guys are up and ready to go. So if you can get back on June 20th, conditioning gets us back to about June 30th, July 1st. Okay, then you have a couple of days of rest. You get everyone ready. Maybe you even take the 4th of July weekend off. Nobody's going and getting sick. You're keeping an eye on everybody. And then you have a true kind of 3-week mini camp, which is what the NBA has done in lockout seasons. That puts us at July 21st, July 25th, and we're back and ready to go for an NBA season.
That's the plan. And I think that everything's going to be in place by this weekend, meaning the commissioner is going to address the Board of Governors, who are the owners, with a plan. And they're going to decide whether or not to go forward with this plan. And as you mentioned, the NBA Players Association has to be on board on their end, and then the owners on their end. And once that's settled, which should be this weekend, we'll know by the first of next week whether it's a go. And then at June 1st, I think the gathering is going to start. And this clock you just spelled out is going to start ticking. And we'll eventually be playing basketball in the end of July.
Which is amazing.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's awesome.
It's great.
And then what we're going to have to figure out from the NBA, and I think this is probably some of the conversation and the negotiation between the players and between the owners and the Board of Governors of the NBA, how many games do they feel like they need to have a regular season for multiple reasons? One, to give these teams who honestly want to have a chance to make the playoffs a chance to make up enough room or change the standing so they can climb into that playoff picture, but B, to put themselves in the spot where they feel comfortable playing playoff intensity basketball. I mean, these are the best competitors in the world.
Mm-hmm.
450 of these guys, you're going to trim that down to, 280 of these guys going into the playoffs, and these guys want to win because we know every possession matters. We know how hard they play. These guys are going to be hungry to come back and play hard and dive on the ground. Well, you can't have a bunch of guys who are cold doing that.
No.
So you've got to get them back and feeling comfortable playing the game, having those ankles not be so tight, the knees not so soft. You got to make sure these guys are back and ready to play. And you're going to need 5 to 10 games, I think, just to get to that point where you're comfortable playing a playoff game. And that actually serves two purposes, because then, as most teams have played 64, 65, I think the Atlanta Hawks have played 66 or 67 games, they only need 4 or 5 games now to get back to hit that 70-game mark that you talked about for the regional sports networks to then have to pay out all the entire money for this year. And then, on top of it, the NBA players can feel comfortable. Hey, we're back. We're ready to go. We've hit that contract. We've hit that quota. And now we can jump into the playoffs.
But Damian Lillard made a comment today to Yahoo Sports, which adds an interesting twist to all this. And I think it's very interesting, saying that if they're sending 30 teams down to Orlando to play, and the teams that aren't in the top 16 have no chance of competing, meaning they're not going to have, the Blazers right now are 2.5 out of the West at number 9. Behind Memphis. So he believes, especially if Nurkic comes back healthy, that the Blazers can make a run and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if they just went to the 16-team model and just already know who's playing the playoffs and they're just going down there to make this money, he doesn't want any part of that.
Right.
So he said he would sit and not play those games if they weren't meaningful. Now, a lot of people, how people react when they hear a professional athlete say he's not going to play, then it triggers. And all of a sudden we jump to conclusions and say, well, Damian Lillard needs to play because he's under contract and needs to go out there and play. Well, that's not what he's saying here. The message that Damian Lillard's trying to send to the league is, I want to compete. If I'm going to go in this situation, which is unusual, he did not sign a contract to do anything like this. This is not even a collective bargaining agreement, which we need to note. The players would be agreeing to do something that they don't have to do.
Right.
And if he's going to do that, I agree with him that he deserves and his teammates deserve a chance to compete in some way. Everyone needs to have some reason or incentive to go down there to compete. For the owners, obviously, it's money. For the players, it's money too. But these guys are competitors. They want to win. And Damian Lillard wants to play and compete and be in the playoffs again. He's not out there that's the opposite of what some people perceive of what he said. So
Right. Give
these guys a competitive reason to go out there and do this. Let's do a play-in. Let's have some fun with this. This is a great opportunity for the NBA to try that play-in format and give incentive to these teams that aren't currently in the playoffs to go down there and compete as hard as they can and try to get one of those playoff spots.
He's Jeremiah Jensen. I'm Ben Anderson. This is KSL's Unrivaled. When we come back, let's talk about some of those ideas of how to give everyone this incentive to come back and play and which teams could actually really benefit from this and who could get hurt. We'll talk about that next. KSL's Unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Jeremiah Jensen filling in today for Scott and Alex. Big thanks to those two enjoying a little extended Memorial holiday. We get to take over.
Good for them.
Good for us.
Yeah.
You can find Jeremiah on Twitter at JJ Sports Beat. You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. I write for KSL Sports. Everyone knows who Jeremiah Jensen is.
I don't know about that.
Hey, I've walked through an airport with you and people said, Jeremiah, and right after I asked you, do you get recognized in the airport? And you said no, and then immediately after, I think it happened.
That's how that works,
nice
right?
Nice of you to lie to me.
I'm just glad they didn't boo me.
Hey, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, guys. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They make junk disappear. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, Jeremiah and I have been talking about what the NBA can do now that it looks like we don't have an exact date, but we have a time frame
yes.
for the league coming back. And how huge of a jump is that from where we were 2.5 months ago?
So nice.
Where, I mean, I didn't know if the league was going to come back. I think my initial thought was, oh, everything's shutting down. There's no way the NBA is coming back.
I would not only didn't think the NBA was coming back, about 3-4 weeks ago, I was convinced college football wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And things have changed, which is great, which is great news for all of us.
So looking at the NBA, it looks like it's going to come back in late July. Now we've got to figure out what does the season look like when it returns. And we've actually got a lot of different scenarios, Jeremiah, where this could really be fun. It could make sense. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody's going to love whatever comes back because you look at the ratings for Tiger and Peyton and Tom Brady and Phil over the weekend.
Insane.
It's like 6 million people watching
TNT. Watch that garbage.
Yeah. I mean, in the rain.
No.
Watch that. So we're going to watch and eat this up, whatever the NBA looks like when it comes back. But because this is different and because Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has wanted to try different tournaments, different options, because these guys need to have incentive to come back and not the playoff teams, not LeBron. He doesn't need an incentive to come back. We know he wants to win another championship and solidify his legacy. Kawhi Leonard wants to do the same thing. The Milwaukee Bucks want to win their first championship since Lou Alcindor was playing for him. There's incentive for those guys. How do you incentivize Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, who are no longer contenders, or at least we didn't think they were contenders, to come back and play these last 5 to 10 regular season games? What do you do about the Atlanta Hawks? How do you get those guys to come back and play? And one of the ideas, or one of the many ideas, actually was proposed by Mark Cuban today, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier. You could have kind of a play-in tournament to fill out those last two seeds, and you could kind of do it by setting up European-style soccer brackets or World Cup-style soccer brackets where you've got 5 teams, 6 different leagues, I guess, conferences. They all play, and then that's the seeding for the tournament going into the playoffs. I think there's interesting ideas out there.
There are very interesting ideas. The other idea is the 16-team playoff with no conferences, which is Jazz fans don't want to hear this because it's not – you don't want to play the Houston Rockets in the first round and then face the Lakers if you win.
Right.
But that scenario's out there. And then, but if you do that scenario, how does that fare to a player like Damian Lillard, whose team is 2.5 games out of the 8th and final playoff spot in the West, and you're telling them they got to go down there, but they don't get to play in the 16-team playoff? Then you got problems. So you got to find a way, and the NBA's in a tough spot here because They've got to make as many people happy as possible to get everybody to buy into this. You got to have the owners happy. You got to have the players happy. And you can't just have the top four teams in each conference happy. You got to have team number 12. I mean, we have 30 teams in the league, right? You got to figure out how to make all these teams happy. And you've got to give all of these teams incentive to go back to work in a time when you're usually on vacation or healing from a surgery or whatever it might be. Now you've got to go back to Orlando. This is not South Beach, Miami. Right. This is not Vegas. This is not L.A.
No.
Orlando.
Yep.
And you've got to leave your family.
Maybe
and you got
6 weeks.
Yes. And you got to live on this campus,
yeah,
like you're in college again, basically, isolated from everything because you've got to stay healthy and you got to play basketball for however long it's going to take until we have a champion. How do you incentivize these players to do that? This is not in the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
This is not something that we've ever had to deal with before. It's not in their contracts. So you've got to make these guys happy. You've got to give them an incentive to go down to Orlando. And I think Mark Cuban has the right idea. I think that's the way to go. You've got to tell these teams that are going down there, look, you might be 10th or 12th in the East right now. Guess what? You go down there right now, you start over, you go to camp, you get ready, you get in shape, and you go down there and play. You got a chance to make that 8th and final playoff spot. That's an incentive for a lot of those players. And then there's playoff money, too. That's an incentive for some players. So give these guys an incentive to go. And that's why that play-in idea, I think, is the best idea. And while I love the 16-team no conference thing, which yep. I think they should go to permanently, in this scenario where it leaves out a player like Damian Lillard, who you would like to have competing for a playoff spot, or a Zion Williamson.
Right.
We haven't even touched on that one, right? How cool would it be to see Zion and Ja Morant
right.
playing for a playoff spot? How cool would it be to see Damian Lillard's team come back with a healthy use of Nurkic and competing for a playoff spot? Wouldn't you want to see Damian Lillard in the playoffs? I would. So let's open it up a little bit. I think that Cuban idea is great.
Here's another great idea that I found. He's Jeremiah Jensen. I'm Ben Anderson. We're filling in for Scott and Alex today. Have you looked at what the NHL has talked about with their playoff format? Now, this could get really interesting. And this is something where the NBA is not afraid. I mean, sports, they're all stealing from one another. If it works there, we think it'll work in our league. The NHL is currently considering a playoff format where the top four seeds in each division, or I should say each conference, comes back and they all play each other round robin to determine who gets the top seed. Because the Jazz right now, Jeremiah, are the number four ranked team. They're ranked fourth in the West. They're only a game
seventh
and a half
overall.
Back of the Nuggets.
They have the seventh best record in the entire NBA.
Well, the Jazz want to feel like, hey, we can improve our standings.
Yeah.
We don't want to play the Lakers in the second round. We would rather have a chance to play the Nuggets in the second round. Well, we want to catch them then. So don't just say because we've earned our spot that, hey, we're set in stone. Give us a chance to improve our standings. So these top four teams all play each other round robin. Same with the Eastern Conference. That determines the seeding, whoever comes out of that with the best record. Potentially, unlikely, but potentially, the Jazz end up as the number one seed in the Western Conference. Then they get a much better finish to the season because we don't know how the Jazz were going to close. We don't know if they were just clicking. It seemed like Mike Conley had come back and was playing well.
And now we don't know who the Jazz are because Boyan's not going to play.
So
who is this team?
Give us a clear idea of what this team looks like. So the top four teams play each other. That sets the standings for the top halves of the playoffs. Then the remaining teams 5 through 15 in the NBA, they play each other in a similar round-robin tournament to establish the last four seeds. That way you don't necessarily have to have everyone playing each other. You can kind of limit it to 10 games to finish the regular season to hit that 70-game quota we've talked about. And then if you hit that spot and you're comfortable there, then you've also established the top four teams. You feel like you've done it fairly. And then those last 10 teams in each conference really have had a true shot to come back and make waves. And it makes teams like the Golden State Warriors significantly more interesting, who have been one of the worst teams this year because, well, they were missing Steph Curry half the season. Well, if he comes back and can play at an MVP level and Draymond Green is healthy, I would take them over the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, in a round-robin scenario.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So
I'd like to see it.
And the NBA, who would they rather have in the first round? As much as we love Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. going up against LeBron, how cool would it be if we had Steph Curry, the 8th seed, going up against LeBron with the 1 seed? The NBA wants to give everyone a chance to
come back. Or Zion in the Lakers. Well, like, any of these scenarios is more exciting than what just going to a 16-team playoff, right? So I think they have to go with this route. And I love the NHL plan if you put it in the NBA. You're explaining this to me now, and I'm thinking, yeah, that would be fun, and that would be fun. Because you got to play these regular season games anyway, so why not spice them up a little bit? This is a cool opportunity for the NBA to try some things. Now, I'm skeptical that they're going to do that because they need to get this done and they need to do it as simply and cleanly as possible. But this is an opportunity to try some different things and some different formats. I've heard some people say, well, do away with overtime and do the Elam ending in these games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's. If you don't know what that is, Google it. We don't have time to explain it here. But there's a lot of new and innovative ideas on how to do things and make the game better that they could try in this scenario. What do they have to lose? But I ultimately don't think they will. But have fun with this. Like, take advantage of this. And then I'm thinking, you have all this different stuff you could do like that, and then you have five games a day. It's like this, like Summer League on steroids. Like, you know, we love watching the Summer League because it's basketball, but imagine NBA players playing a Summer League-type schedule where you're having that many games every day. They don't have to travel.
Right.
So they're going to play five, six games a day every day.
And there's only three arenas.
Right.
I mean, they only have three arenas to play in. If you're going to play 10 games over 2 weeks, three weeks.
They've got to play them every other day, and they got to mix teams up. So there's going to have to be 5 to 10 games a day, which, how cool is that?
Yeah, in every arena. But, you know, you're going to see 8 games played in one night. And, they're going to have to start at noon. They're going to have to go until 8 o'clock.
How cool would it be to have all 30 teams play in one day?
All right, when we come back, more 100 days out from one very significant sporting event. Are we going to see it? Jeremiah Jensen, Ben Anderson, it's KSL's Unrivaled.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Jeremiah Jensen, filling in for Scott and Alex today. Big thanks to those two letting us fill in. Find us on Twitter at JJ SportsBeat. That's Jeremiah. Find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. You can find me at KSLSports.com. Of course, find Jeremiah every night. I mean, not every night, but most nights.
5 days a week.
It's the best. 5 days a
week. They give me 2 days off. Kind of.
Hey, 100 days from now might be the best night of the year if you're a sports fan in the state
especially
of Utah.
Especially when you consider what this year's been like.
I can't believe it. I heard this number and I thought, man, I can't believe it's that close.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels close now because we've just been talking so long into the future and maybe next year of how quickly sports are going to come back. 100 days from today, we are supposed to see BYU and Utah going head-to-head up at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
100 days from now.
To start the 2020 college football season.
And where are you at on this right now? Are you glass half full or glass half empty on this game actually happening?
I'd say I'm even more than half full. I'd say I'm like 75%
okay.
full. I feel good that we're going to see it because once the NBA is back and making money, and we'll talk about if Major League Baseball can figure out their stuff, but the NFL is going to figure out a way to make their money.
Yes.
College football, I mean, Appalachian State today just closed like 4 of their sporting departments. I mean, they just got
UConn's going to gut their programs too.
I mean, it's awful. It's
cut in half.
And these are kids and scholarships and education and life-changing opportunities for
gone.
Families that are gone. So it's not just, hey, I'm a sports fan. I want to see sports back. I mean, there really is some enormous incentive to get these guys back and these women back to come and play and have a chance to get this great education. Yes, I think we're going to see college football 100 days from now played in the state of Utah. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how radical the changes are, but I think there's a good chance we're going to end up seeing college football back this season.
Probably even two weeks ago, but especially 4 weeks ago, I was glass half empty. I was really concerned because of the way things were trending. And it wasn't because of what's going on here in Utah. It was in other places. I was thinking how in New York and Michigan and Southern California, where they were being a lot more careful and a lot more, I mean, for instance, California, a health official came out and said, we're going to shut down events for 3 months.
Yeah, campuses are closed.
Right, and I'm thinking, how? Because instantly, I'm sports guy, so I'm sorry. I instantly go to sports, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, how can UCLA and USC have football games when they're still not allowing these events to take place? How can you get 100 football players into a practice facility if they're not going to let that many get together? And at that point, I was thinking, there's no way we can have a college football season. Because you can't have half of the teams in the country not be able to play and then the other half be able to play. How could you fill out schedules? How would it all work? And so I became really pessimistic. But now that the NCAA has opened everything up on June 1st, the Pac-12 today has opened everything up on June 15th, where all the sports can go back to practicing and getting together and for you know, students can return to the facilities and work out, which is brilliant, by the way, because it's better for them to work out at the facility where they can control the environment than to have them go down to the local whatever you want to call the gym.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing that. Now I'm glass half full, and I might even be more than 75%. I'm like 90% sure that Utah BYU game takes place right now. Yes, we can wait and see how it's going to turn out. Are fans going to be able to go? Who knows at this point? I don't know, but I feel very confident that game's going to happen. We were talking about just conference only schedules a couple weeks ago. now I don't see what would stop them from having a full 12-game schedule as they're created. Now, they're being careful. Like BYU today announced that they're not setting any times for their schools, working with ESPN on some of those games. So they're still waiting to see. They haven't made a decision a lot of those times. But the fact that things are where they are right now with these campuses opening up and these students being able to work out again gives me hope that we're going to be ready to go end of August, first of September with games.
It seems to me, Jeremiah, that every sport has its pluses and every sport has its disadvantages when it's trying to come back here. Yeah. So the NBA is in good shape because there's 15 players on a roster. You can only have 13 active, meaning two of those guys really don't have to come to the arena
right. If
you don't want. So, okay, that's fine. That's a nice small number. The problem with basketball is you're wearing a jersey and you're touching each other
and you're indoors.
Getting spread around and you're getting indoors. So that's problematic. Yep. That's difficult to do. Baseball's great because there's 27 active players or however many it is. It's not a huge number. And the guys are naturally socially distanced other than if you're standing at first base or if you're at bat and you're the catcher, it's pretty safe.
Which is why Korea's already having
Which is why Korea's back
Taiwan.
And is having success.
Yes.
There's advantages there. The disadvantages, the rosters are bigger than the NBA. Football has maybe the most disadvantages when I look at it, as the roster sizes are absolutely enormous. It's full contact, super physical. It's going to have issues, and it's going to have to figure those issues out. The one advantage, though, that college football might have is its ability, like you're saying, to control its players more than you could ask of a professional team. The Jazz can't go and say, hey, you don't get to leave your room. We're going to watch you. Yeah, I know you're a 30-year-old multimillionaire, but we're going to tell you you have to be in your room all day.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Even if it's in Orlando, you hope it's not in Las Vegas. But all these issues, it's not going to happen. College football, before you play a game that night before, even if you're local, you go and you stay in the hotel. They have this ability to keep you on campus, to keep you covered up, to keep you in this bubble. They can do this and then say, hey, all your classes are online this year. You're not even going to class. You exist in this bubble with very little outside attention. Now, it's got to be inevitable. You've got to let people see families, and they have to exist. And some of these people, especially in our state, BYU, Utah, they have kids that are already on the team. But you will have more ability to control what these players' lives look like than you will if it was the NFL. And that is one of the advantages I think college football can have.
I feel good about it. I really do. So 100 days from now, let's do it. Let's play some college football. I think we're there.
Now,
we will be there when the time comes, I should say.
I think one of the questions that's going to face college football now is, can you go and play in every home stadium? And that's what baseball's trying to do. Now, baseball, we'll talk about this in just a second. Baseball wants you to go and play in every home city. They're not going to have fans. At least that's the initial plan. But everyone can have home games. You're going to split it up kind of into three different sections across the Major League Baseball, across the country. That was the idea. That can certainly change. Baseball's asking their players right now to take, enormous, enormous pay cuts.
It's not going to work.
To come back and play. There's a chance we don't see baseball at all. And it's not because of coronavirus. It's a result of it. But it's because they can't come to an agreement on what this new collective bargaining agreement needs to look like, even if it's just for 1 year, because they don't want to pay the players. The players don't want to take pay cuts and expose themselves to a virus. Baseball might not come back because of the pay issue. And if it can't come back right now, I don't want to say baseball's doomed, but man, it is not looking bright for the future.
And think about this, Ben, as far as baseball goes. So if the NBA, after this, moves their season to a December start, December 25th, which is an idea that's been floated around out there, and is very likely now with this situation pushing the NBA season into late August. What if basketball now has the heart of their schedule in May, June, July, and August? And you're baseball and you're going to try to compete with the NBA playoffs? Uh-uh. It's going to be hurt. You're going to hurt. And so the MLB needs to wake up. Players and everybody needs to come together and say, look, we're making a lot of money, but our sport is going to take a serious hit. And I don't know why they haven't learned lessons from 1994. They haven't learned lessons from juicing and the whole controversy. They continue to not learn anything from these things, these mistakes that they've made that have hurt the game. And they're not doing anything to move it forward. This would be a huge step back for baseball. Like, sit back and look what's going on right now. Like, get out there and play as soon as possible. And this is really a missed opportunity for baseball because it is easing up in a lot of places. They could have been way ahead of this at this point. What if they were already in Arizona and Florida getting ready to start playing games June 1st? They'd have the whole month to themselves.
My initial thought, when this all happened and every league was getting shut down, and we kind of started to hear in late April that, hey, Major League Baseball is trying to formulate an idea to come back, and we know that Korea was back and playing, I thought, this can save baseball. You can get baseball back, like you said, a month or 2 months ahead, where they're the only American sport being played and they're on TV all day long, and you have young people. You have, you know, I'm 33 years old. I like baseball. I have a team. I don't watch it every day. I don't watch 162 games a year. But if it was on right now and I could throw it on in the background and learn every player who plays for the Rangers right now, learn every player who's in Tampa Bay or I guess Miami now, you know, learning all these different teams. I mean, even to the point where I'm mistaking Tampa Bay and the Miami Marlins, you know, if you could get back and kind of get familiar with these players, Major League Baseball could get this huge fan base that sticks with it for the rest of our lives, and they're blowing this opportunity over money.
6 million people watch Tom Brady and Peyton Manning golf in the rain
golf,
on Sunday.
Not play football, golf.
Can you imagine if we would have been able to watch the Yankees and Mike Trout or something on Sunday?
Right.
And that was Sunday Night Baseball. You're not watching that? I'm watching it. I mean, this is a golden opportunity for baseball, and they're blowing it. They're completely blowing it over greed.
But that's what bad leadership does. And it's bad leadership from Major League
trust.
Baseball, a lack of trust, and it's a lack of trust between the Players Association and the ownership. And that's bad on both sides. They have to figure out a way to get this
and
back.
And as a baseball fan, it hurts me. It's so disappointing because I love the game, and I'd love to see it take advantage of this opportunity, and it's totally missing up. You're right.
All right, when we come back, tons of topics for buy or sell. Jeremiah Jensen, Ben Anderson filling in for Scott and Alex. It's KSL's Unrivaled. KSL's Unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Jeremiah Jensen filling in for Alex and Scott today. Hey, free online Trading Academy. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop at tradingacademy.com. Get a free 3-hour workshop, tradingacademy.com. All right, Jeremiah, some fun topics here for buy or sell. Kind of look at the big world of sports. So we buying it, we selling it. Jordan Love, former Utah State quarterback, being used as a rookie with the Packers. Their offensive coordinator says it's possible. Do you buy it? Will we see Jordan Love in active games next year?
Buy it. I think somebody like Taysom Hill has teams around the league saying, okay, if we got a guy that could do some things, multiple things, let's get him out on the field. And Jordan Love's a great athlete. He was dual threat Utah State when he needed to be. So, yeah, why not? Get him out on the field there and get him in a few plays. We'll see what happens.
Here's what I think you have to do with Jordan Love, regardless if you're Green Bay. You're not going to start him unless he has to because Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. But no, you don't want to start him. But you don't want him to be forgotten about because, let's say Aaron Rodgers is great at, you know, 2 years from now and he's 40, 41, 42, and he still has it. He's still fantastic. Well, you're not going to still hold on to Jordan Love. What are you going to do? You're going to flip him for more first-round picks. We've seen it happen. I mean,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Constantly in the NFL. So they want him to be out there and at least get a taste of him and not be forgotten about. So he goes from being a first-round pick to a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick if you trade him. That's basically worst-case scenario other than him being just an absolute bust, and I don't think that's going to be the case. So you have to get him out there. You have to show him off a little bit, but you have to put him in situations to succeed. But you can do that. He's athletic. He can get out and move a little bit. You can put some opportunities out there for Jordan Love to play. I'm buying this. I think we're going to see him. Okay, NBA stars, Damian Lillard. Are they going to sit out if the NBA comes back? How many of the 450 players do we not see again this season?
I'm selling that anyone's actually going to sit out. Because if they, unless the teams want them to.
Yeah.
Which, it's got to be the team saying, if I'm the Blazers, I don't want a guy that I've given a supermax to playing exhibition games basically in Orlando. So I could see that the Blazers making a decision to sit Damian Lillard. But ultimately, I think Damian's simply trying to send a message to the NBA to try to convince them to go to this play-in route so this team has a chance to get in. I think that's what his motivation is here. I don't think he would ever actually just sit on the bench. So I'm selling that.
If there's an opportunity for every team to compete to make it to the postseason, guys like Kyrie Irving, who are kind of questionable whether or not to come back this year for the Brooklyn Nets, I don't want to say Kevin Durant. He shouldn't come back.
No.
He's got a torn Achilles. I don't want him to come back
right.
I don't want him to get hurt. But a guy like Kyrie Irving or a guy like Steph Curry, who they had ended his season, do we see those guys come back? Buy or sell, we see Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry play again this year?
Sell. Okay, now I'm talking myself out of it. Buy Steph, sell Kyrie. Steph's injury was a bone.
Yeah.
Kyrie's was different. So I'm going to buy Steph, sell Kyrie.
I'm going to buy that we're going to see a couple of players sit out. But I think it's not because of the lack of opportunity to compete coming back the rest of the year. It's because it just makes sense for the franchise, the organization, for their draft picks. And you're right. It's going to be the coaches. It's going to be the general manager who says, hey, we don't want you to come back. In fact, we're seeing it here in Utah. The Jazz started weighing this option of what are we going to do with Bojan Bogdanović? Do you bring him back this year, play a run, have surgery this offseason, and then miss, you know, the first 20 games of next season? Or do you just bite the bullet now, get him back, and try and make a real push next season? You're going to have teams trying to deal with that, trying to figure it out. Jazz, unfortunately, were on the wrong side of it, but hopefully it's better for the upcoming season. All right, Tua Tagovailoa, drafted in the first round by the Miami Dolphins, will start games for Miami in 2020.
Bye.
Absolutely bye.
He's a franchise guy.
Absolutely bye.
This is the whole plan all along. And I mean, it's not like they've got Aaron Rodgers sitting there playing quarterback. So what are you waiting for? Get this guy out there. Yeah, he's got the hip injury thing he's getting over with. But, I mean, the Dolphins essentially tanked for Tua Tagovailoa. And now the team ended up winning some games. I don't know what they were doing with that. But ultimately it worked out for them. This is the guy they've wanted all along. He's their franchise guy right now. So I'm absolutely buying that Tua is playing this year.
Okay,
and multiple starts.
I'm with you. I'm buying that. Let me change this question.
Okay.
Buy or sell, we see Josh Rosen play games for the Miami Dolphins this year. Remember Josh Rosen from UCLA?
Yeah.
Got drafted in the first round by the Arizona Cardinals. Got traded to Miami. Looks like he's on the trading block again. Will we see Josh Rosen in a Dolphins uniform?
Sell. Because I think Tua is going to be like Murray in Arizona last year. I really do. Similar situations where this is a young team. It's not going to be the expectations aren't high. There's nothing to lose here by starting your guy right out of the gate, and he's a guy you believe in. It's just like Kyler Murray in Arizona last year. I think Miami's going to do the same with Tua.
I think you're right. I think you're going to see a lot of him. I hope he can stay healthy. He was amazing to watch when he was at Alabama.
Yeah.
Hip injuries are really scary in sport, especially when you've been had a dislocated hip.
It was a pretty gnarly injury, yeah.
That's scary. I'm buying we're going to see Tua Tagovailoa. I'm selling we're going to see Josh Rosen in a Miami Dolphins uniform. But I'm going to say this. I'm still a Josh Rosen fan. I don't know why.
What?
He's never been good.
Why?
He wasn't even that good at UCLA.
No, he was way overrated.
But I still want to see him make it. I want to see him go somewhere and have success. Because like he's turned from this kind of overhyped front runner to an underdog. So I'm going to buy the underdog story.
Now you got the sympathetic story with Josh. Okay, I'm buying that.
Let's see if we can get there. All right. This is maybe the best story we could have in sports in 2020. Other than just sports coming back in general, Bartolo Colon at age 46 is going to get another shot in Major League Baseball. Will we see? He's probably doesn't have starter capabilities in him anymore. But can he come off the bench? Can he come out of the bullpen and pitch some games at 46 years old?
I'm buying it. Bring it. I want Bartolo back. If baseball's coming back, bring Bartolo with it. I'm buying.
I'm going to buy Bartolo Colon coming back because these $35 million a year guys, they don't want to come back. They don't want to play. There's going to be enough players that may not want to come back that someone's going to go out and have an opportunity to sign Bartolo Colon. I want to see him back. You know what I watch? Everyone's been doing this. I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
I've been going back and watching old YouTube videos of just whatever sports I could find. I found first home runs of pitchers' careers. So it's Randy Johnson. It's Mark Burley. I forgot that Bartolo Colon hit a home run in Major League Baseball. That's the best YouTube video I've watched since.
Wasn't he in his 40s when he hit that?
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago.
It's insane.
All right, last one. Buy or sell, would you rent an Airbnb at a Florida minor league baseball stadium?
Yes, absolutely. Haven't we all dreamed of being able to just go to a ballpark with a bunch of friends and go take batting practice and kind of have the whole place to ourselves? I saw that story. It's in Pensacola, Florida. It's right on the bay, right on the Gulf of Mexico. Right on the water. So you're going to go out and just get 10 of your friends, and it's $150 a piece. You'll spend the night there. They even have somebody, like they have food and drinks and everything.
You remember the scene from
party.
Rookie of the Year? When after he's lost his arm again, he broke his arm, and he comes back and he pitches great. Well, then all of his friends after the game are just running around after the Cubs have won the pennant of the World Series. I want to do that. I want to pretend. I'm not.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
12 years old anymore, but at 30 years old,
I would. Go act like you're 12 for a night. I love it.
I would love that opportunity to go out and try it. Hey, he's Jeremiah Jensen. Make sure you find him on Twitter at JJ Sportsbeat. Of course, you can catch him 5 days a week on KSL. You can find me, Ben Anderson, on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. Huge thanks to Amber today. Running the board for us. This has been Buy or Sell, free online Trading Academy. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop at tradingacademy.com. That's tradingacademy.com. That'll do it for us at KSL's Unrivaled tonight. We'll be back with you again tomorrow night. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm Dave Cauley. investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.